Welcome to the Physics Teaching Podcast, a podcast by physics teachers made for teachers of physics or something like that.
It seems so long ago. Welcome, yes, welcome to the Physics Teaching Podcast. My name's Thomas W.P., a part-time A-level mostly physics teacher, and I'm joined by Robin Griffiths.
Who is a mostly year 8 to year 13 physics teacher, but I gather I'm going to get year 7 next year, which is going to be good.
Good for you. Now, we really just wanted to have a chat, say we're still alive, we're still out here, and assume you are too.
That's right, yeah, I hope everybody is well. I'm sat here eating baked beans out of a tin in my underpants with a beard down to my knees. It's nothing to do with the COVID outbreak, it's just I've become a huge Patrick Kaplow fan. Sorry, Patrick, that's just mean, isn't it?
I've been making videos for the kids, and I put on my full bow tie, waistcoat, and everything. So I the best quote I've heard of this is dress for the social life you want, not the social life you have. So there's no beard down to the knees for me, and no baked beans, and no baseball cap inside either. Surely.
Surely, absolutely. What is that? End of days, that is. But yes, I think you're absolutely right. And I saw the videos, and we will put a link to those in the show notes because they are fabulous. And it's great to see you online with your bow tie, of course.
Not sure we will put them in the show notes. They're very secret videos of my kids.
Are they? Oh, sorry. I thought you published them. I thought they were on YouTube.
They're on YouTube, but they're a secret playlist and they're unlisted.
Oh, I see. Okay. In which case, you won't get to see them. If we get enough of a petition, if we get a Twitter storm asking for Mr. WP's videos to be released, who are you to argue with popular opinion?
I don't know how you're judging them, because I looked at the viewing list. I've only told a few people, and no one's looked at them. So
I had a look. Well, I didn't watch much of it, I must say, but it did look very good.
Oh, well. Anyway, yes, I've been making videos, and I'm making a video. I've got a blue screen and everything, which is my wife's yoga mat hanging from the ceiling. And it's just crazy this life.
The sacrifices Mrs. WP makes for physics, I do not know.
It's not cut up, it's dangling over. I did break the broomstick cleaning out my office, and so it's dangling over the broken broomstick. Anyhow, we digress.
As always.
How I'll tell you some COVID teaching anecdotes I've heard. I don't know about you, but my school has taken a very sensible approach. I think we had an email over the Easter saying the work you set must be no more than 30 minutes and you must give them no less than 3 days to complete. And we were talking about this, and one of my colleagues, one of the local schools, I don't know what it's like at other schools, I don't know what your school's doing, but at this school, the kids have to turn up on time for the lesson. They have to submit the work within the hour of the lesson. So the poor teacher, the poor kids. And then if they don't, it is noted. And when we're back at school, they have to serve detention.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, our school is running the timetable as normal as best they can. So I get virtual students, well, not virtual, they're real students turning up in the virtual classroom during timetable hours. And then we sort of work through tasks together and do bits and pieces like that. We're not setting homework for younger year groups and trying to be quite light on homework. And really, I think the challenge for me has just been to try and bring some physics into, because I think that, you know, imagining my poor students sitting there in front of their laptop for 6 lessons every day, I just think is, you know, trying to get some practical work into their physics lessons so that they can get up and move around and do something. So I've set some speed time practical work. I asked them to go away and find out, investigate the link between time of fall and height at which you drop a ball. So they're doing some slow-mo videos or using Firefox or something along those lines to try and get that to work. And then for my year 11s, it won't surprise you to know, they're going to be boiling kettles and investigating the link between how long it takes for water to boil for different volumes.
I hope you've done a risk assessment for that and they're wearing safety goggles.
Well, as I understand it, they're in the care of their parents. So what I did do was send home a little message saying that you have to make sure that your parents are happy with what you're doing and how you're doing it. And that if your parents need any advice on the safety precautions needed to boil a kettle, they can always get in touch with Cleeps. So I'm sure it'll be fine.
I'll tell you another thing I heard was a school where they're continuing the lessons virtually and the senior management are doing virtual learning walks. So they're logging into the lesson, seeing what's going on.
I do love that. That sort of almost within seconds of a new way of teaching being born, somebody's worked out a new way of punitive accountability.
I just think it's like a cargo cult. They're just acting out what they think a successful head should do. And being on top and pressurizing the staff is the way forward. Oh my God.
Absolutely. So, because there's no pressure in this situation at all, is there? I don't think at all. No,
it's not. It's all fine. Difficult, yeah. Not difficult. It's no problem. And it doesn't take, everything doesn't take way longer than it did before. I would say, yeah. Dear listener, if you have any anecdotes you wish us to share with the listenership of what the crazy things that happened to you in COVID, do share. Tweet to us at PhysicsTP. Email us contact@thephysicsteachingpodcast.com.
We've got Instagram, of course, physics_teaching_podcast.
And a contact form on every page of the website, the.physicsteachingpodcast.com.
Lovely. Yes, it would be good to hear. I do feel for the poor teachers who work in these schools under these conditions.
Well, I'm part-time. I'm 43% or something. I can't remember the exact number. I am working harder. You know, I'm working way more hours. I was speaking to Charlie earlier today, and he was saying that he's heard of a school where the teachers have to log all the time they're doing to make sure they're completing their hours. And I said, Charlie, if I did that, you would have to double what you're paying me because I'm doing way yes. more. And I feel sorry for people like you, Robin, who have what, a full timetable.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
How can you stay on top of it? I mean, the marking. I don't know about you, but I've tried really, really, really hard because I know some kids have phones. They're just doing it on their phone to make it quite simple to hand in the work. But yet, you still get pictures upside down. PDFs, Word documents that are just, it's hard. Are you getting on?
So, what I'm doing as much as I possibly can, because you're absolutely right, that's driving me nuts trying to mark bits of JPEGs and stuff like that, that when you import them into Microsoft Teams, which is the platform we're using, you know, all manages to turn itself upside down and get in the wrong order and all these sorts of things. It's just a nightmare and it takes ages. So, trying to minimize that by using things like Microsoft Forms, which has been quite useful and been quite good. And also online platforms like we have Seneca Learning, which is an online platform. Isaac Physics, of course, is almost made for Isaac Physics. It's a perfect opportunity to get yourself into Isaac if you've been thinking that's something you should be doing for a while now. So that's the answer as far as I'm concerned. Squaring the circle is using the online platforms as much as you can and getting away from the idea that kids will write stuff down and you will, you know, put marks on a piece of paper or marks on a JPEG. That's just hopeless.
Yeah, we're Microsoft Teams as well. Yes, and I agree totally. Isaac Physics is made for that. I've had big success with forms for the marking after my early real problems in that you can put multi-choice and it marks them for you. But if they do short answer, when you're in forms and you're looking at the results, you can look at it by question. So you can have the question and you can just have a few stock answers as comments. And just answer that one question, tick, 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 and pasting in the different comments. So that is very good for creating little tests. And I'm actually going to survey my kids using that this week, saying, yeah, what access do you have to do this work? Because not everyone, where I come from, has a laptop, a room of their own. Yeah, I was doing a face-to-face, one-to-one help with a kid. He was sat next to his mum in her office. You know, it's just, the kids have huge challenges out there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very, very true, lest we forget. You know, this is not ideal for them, and it's a very difficult learning curve for them, and you're absolutely right. So I think Microsoft Forms has been my and it's thanks to you and Patrick when we were chatting about it the other day that I got into it and started using it. But I think that's been my find of the crisis so far. It's been really useful, and I can see myself using that quite extensively after this whole thing's blown over.
Yeah, and I agree. And I've heard very good things about Google Classroom as well, very similar. And I've used Google Forms. I guess it works in a similar way. So that's one success I've had. Another success I've had, I thought we should share that, is I created a practical using spaghetti. I think I mentioned that before. So you weigh down a spaghetti with 20 centimetres sticking out, hang a bit of paper on the end, folded in half, and mark where the spaghetti extends down the wall. Brilliant. The kids, most of them have done it, and it's come out super well. They, depending on how expensive the spaghetti is, it is stiffer. It's extraordinary.
Really? You've got a correlation between spaghetti price and Young's modulus of spaghetti.
We absolutely have. So the expensive brands, Napolina, comes in over 1 Newton per meter. And DeCoco number 12 comes in 0.95. And then Quick Cook comes in at 0.14. Quick Cook. I mean, it just must be full of holes. And my essential, Waitrose Essential, came in at 0.44, another very low score. So, yeah, it does seem to be the more you spend on your spaghetti, the stiffer it is.
Well, Quick Cook spaghetti is what the Italians called linguine, isn't it? It's just thinner spaghetti. That's why it cooks quicker. I think that's true. maybe.
I'd like to. I shall have to send him a micrometer, get him to measure the diameter of his spaghetti as well. I neglected to include that in the data, but it has worked really, really well, and they've committed to it, and they've got good results. And some interesting stuff came out because I asked them, "What do you think will happen if you halve the length of the spaghetti? What will happen to the stiffness constant?" And my assumption was wrong there. What would you think would happen if you halve the length? It's horizontal, remember. It's horizontal.
Horizontal, and you're halving the length. I would have thought it would get it would get more stiff, but
by how much though?
I don't know.
I thought it would double, but it doesn't. Okay. It quadruples.
Okay.
I guess it's something to do with the moments because you're halving the length, so you're halving the moment as well. The torque, I guess, but it does, very clearly does go up four times.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting.
So that was a big success. Have you had any successes other than discovering forms?
What you said there, actually, I think, as I was saying earlier, trying to get the kids doing something practical even while they're at home. Boiling a kettle and timing how long it takes to boil different volumes of water is not exactly the most earth-shattering experiment in the world, as indeed, you know, bending pasta isn't either. But the point is that when you get into evaluating it, you've got things like you were mentioning earlier, different diameters of the spaghetti. So you've got to bring that in. You can bring in this evaluation. You can bring in the critique of the experiment. And the more simple the experiment, the easier it is for kids to get a handle on the things like the uncertainties and the evaluation and that real high level skill. So I think from that point of view, that's an interesting thing. So even though some of these experiments at home are a bit noddy, the fact that you can evaluate them quite carefully because the kids realize that they are working with something that's a bit Heath Robinson and a bit made up on the spot, they can therefore put that in the context of, well, if I was in the lab, I'd probably use this piece of equipment, and that is better because, and you can start having those conversations. So I think for me, that's a bit of an opportunity here. It's talking about the real high-level evaluation of the experiment a bit more than the actual, just the procedure, which is inevitably going to be a bit simple given the circumstances.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good point. I think I would say another thing I've learned is how to use the class notebook in Teams. Well, this is very Teams focused, but I was able to make a pro forma for them to fill in, and I've assessed it as a CPAC one on the A-level here in the UK. There's the common practical assessment criteria. There's five strands, and the CPAC one is following instructions. So I put very clear instructions in there, and they're able to follow them. But like you say, the evaluation, I put in, what is your evaluation? What was your greatest source of uncertainty in this? And that was interesting, how they all had difficulty judging, you know, the classic thing, this pasta's horizontal, and as it weighs down, it gets further from the wall. So it's good to see the ones that have spotted that as an issue. But yeah, I agree with you. I think the evaluation, there's a lot you can do there. And actually, when you get together online, if you're doing that, that would be a good thing to discuss, nice and clear, and something they can all contribute to.
Yeah, I think so. And that's an interesting thing. And like I say, in terms of opportunities, that's a good one. The other thing was getting them into the online platforms. I think I talked about that. But Phyfox, I think, as well, is another one I'm going to make, Phyphox, which is this app that opens up all the sensors in a mobile phone. That is going to be really useful because I'm with my year 10s, I've just started in forces of motion. And there's loads we can do with that. So there's things that they can do, like sort of walking up and down the stairs with motion sensors and running around in the back garden and things like that, so that they can start to interpret the graphs that Phyfox gives them. And that's another opportunity, I think, that's there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So with all this talk of things that we've been doing and things that we've kind of invented, if you like, to get used to the new normal, as we are calling it in our school quite often, and I think lots of schools are using the same term. One of the things is, and I mentioned it there actually when we were talking about my year 10s, you know, comparing with the equipment in the lab that they could be using. What are you missing the most about your practice? What are you missing the most about your lab, about school, about doing physics in your lab at school? What is your PIM, your physics I miss?
I knew you hated practical in memoriam. You're trying to subvert it. Practicals I miss.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what I do miss. I miss just having access to stuff like, oh, I could do with some verniers. And, you know, just like we were talking about earlier with the pasta. If we had that in class, I would just send one of them to get verniers and we would measure the pasta. I miss that instant access to stuff to make things clearer.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's just nipping to a drawer and pulling out a piece of kit. All of a sudden, you can't do that. I think that's the thing I found out, because I'm in imagining practicals that they can do at home. You sit there and think, oh, they could do this, they could do this, and then you get to the right to the end of it, and then you think, oh no, but they'd need an oscilloscope, or oh no, they'd need this, and you think, oh, it was so close, it was so near. So I think that's the thing, is nicking the equipment off the shelf, being able to get to that. That's a big negative.
Yeah, it's the simple things.
I miss my colleagues a lot as well. I mean, you know, Teresa, my technician, we've been in touch on, we've got a WhatsApp group, so we're all sort of in touch. Maria and Jane, my colleagues, are missing them a lot as well, because, you know, just what a great team they are, and it's really difficult. Although we are doing our utmost to keep in touch, and I would say, I know many of you are physics teachers on your own, but do try and keep in touch with people at your school. Just try and make contact and have a quick chat about how people are doing and what they're doing to fill the hours, because it is really important to maintain that link. I'm very lucky I've got physics colleagues. I miss having that chat about what we're doing and what we're up to and how we're all handling it and how we're all approaching the different topics.
Yeah, we've kept on having just socials with the science department, because I think people find it helpful just to touch base and see how we're all getting on in a big group. I totally agree with you. And yeah, I was just thinking while you were talking there, it's giving teachers of other subjects a taste of what it is to be a physics teacher, be on your own, no one yes. to talk to.
Yeah, it is. You've got a quantum of solace. That's what they've got. Sorry. I've been spending a lot of time catching up with the James Bond movies, because I, you know, obviously haven't watched them for about 6 months, and I watch them all every 6 months religiously, you know.
That's because you're British, obviously. That's what we do.
Absolutely, but I distinctly unnerdy films to be watching, I know, but never mind. It is. You're right. It's like that. That's the thing. It's that professional isolation. It is quite difficult, and that's why the podcast is here. So, you know, if you stumbled across this from another discipline, it's good to have you on board. And it is about. Yeah, this is what a physics teacher's life is like a lot of the time.
So to get round this thing that I'm missing, actually, I hadn't told you this. We have sent home a pack to the A-level kids of stuff to teach the two coming topics. So we sent them a couple of springs, a length of wire, their lab books, various little knickknacks, and then we're going to use those we know what equipment they've got. We were a bit dim, we didn't send them to us. So I know what they've got, and I've obviously used those springs a million times, but I can't do anything to demonstrate it to them or take any photos. but we will overcome that. So our technicians in school, because our tech department have made something like 9,000 face masks.
Oh, brilliant.
They're making hundreds and hundreds a day. And one of our technicians is heavily involved in that. But they've designed, and then they're just smashing out this face mask. They reckon they can make it for 40p, and they're helping the local hospitals.
That is brilliant, isn't it? Good stuff. You hear so many of these heroic tales going on everywhere and every day. And again, if you've got some of those you'd like to share with us, it really would be lovely to hear and lovely to recognise the folks who are doing a great job in supporting the NHS.
And all over the world.
Mm,
anyhow, we should wrap this up, Robin. It was just really a touch base. Tell people we're still out here, and we'll put it out later in the week, and then I think next week we'll try and do something that avoids COVID altogether and just has a bit of normality.
Yeah, it would be good, wouldn't it? And to get back to that sort of and of course for physics teachers, you know, being in isolation and not talking to anybody, you know, that's our natural state, so you know, it's all good. So we will be back next week with something to take your minds off things.
Yes. Well, it was a brief one, Robin, but great to catch up with you. We should have a virtual beer on Zoom sometime.
Absolutely, we should do that, and definitely get Patrick on as well. Try and cure him of that habit of wearing a baseball cap inside. Goodness
me. I know. Maybe we should just wear baseball caps as well, just so he feels happier.
Yes, indeed. With my beard and the baseball cap, it'll be hard to tell us apart.
Oh, my hair is so long now, it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm like Einstein, that famous picture, all I need is the tash and stick my tongue out, there'd be no difference.
It's true, and he was a bit of a one for the bow ties as well, wasn't he? So
he really was. So thank you very much, Robin. It's a pleasure to catch up. Speak to you next week.
See you then. Take care, Thomas. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Physics Teaching Podcast in these strange times. Next week, we hope to have a COVID-free zone and chat with Miss Neutrino from Twitter and NQT. The podcast is presented by me, Thomas WP, and Robin Griffiths, and produced and edited by me, Thomas WP. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you next week.